Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why I Love the Podcast, and today we are finding out who wants to be a millionaire. As always, I'm Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And Matt is going to be leading us through this episode.
Yeah, so obviously when you all are going to be questioning of why the hell are we talking about this, which obviously you'll find out today, but I don't think people realized that the show was still on until this year. And so when I proposed this, obviously Kate and Adrian looked at me and thought I was stupid, but I was like, there's actually quite a bit there to look at and to kind of mix up the stuff of just basically going from movie to game to movie to game. We'll kind of get into, like, see who wants to be a millionaire. So I guess for our first question is, obviously, have you all watched the show? And how far do you think you could actually make it?
I used to watch, before like we had like cable and stuff, we would watch this one pretty regularly, to be honest. I like this show a bunch. Mainly because like you learn a lot just by watching it, right? Like learn stupid trivia stuff. I don't know how far I would get. I think I'd do okay. I don't know if I'd win $1 million, but I think I'd get some, I got a good chunk of change, I think. I'd definitely be calling people.
I guess to put into context, there are 15 questions you have to answer. So out of how many questions do you think you'd get right to kind of help you?
I think I could get, I think I break even, like a little over even. I'd probably about 8, I think. Without having to like call somebody or like use one of my lifelines, I think I could do 8.
Kate, what do you got?
If I had like you like on speed dial for like, or like if I had people like, oh, this is a sports question I don't know, Matt's my phone friend. This thing, if it's like a religious question, Kate's my, you know, if it's, yeah, I would just make sure I have people lined up to kill it.
So we watched it a lot. Like we watched a lot of reality TV, like at nighttime. Like we had Survivor Nights and we had freaking like, when it was coming on, I believe it was coming on at primetime on ABC when it first started, I remember sitting down and watching it with my parents like every night that it came on. And then like during the day, we would do the same family bonding, but over Jeopardy. And my parents got hella competitive like during both of those games. So that was real fun. I learned that my dad has a pretty good chance to make it close to the end and my mom just yells out stuff and gets frustrated too easy. That's about where I am. I think if I take like a Xanax before I do it, I can make it pretty far because I know a lot of random stuff and I know a lot of random stuff about a lot of stuff. And I'm thinking about like all the pub trivia we've been to. Like, I think we have like a nice like friend group, especially from like my cohort and stuff, that I think we can even out with like answers. But even with the Xanax, I feel like I would get to like 13 or 14 right there, and then I would end up going home. I don't think I can make it all the way because I would get too much in my own head, in all honesty. And then it would be one of those like, oh yeah, your first answer was correct. You totally overcomplicated this. I would cape myself.
Wow. Yeah, so I think I could probably
do you not agree with that though? Like,
I mean, I do, but also you'll find out probably like there's probably somewhat reasons for that too. In a sense.
Yeah.
But as far as me, obviously I watched it. I was also part of the whole part of like people, part of the people that watched it every night for a little while. I think I'd probably make it to about question, I want to say, maybe, obviously I don't know now because when this show came on and big, I was, you know, like 10. So, but I felt like I could always get to about question 10 around that range, which is usually about the $32,000 range, maybe between 10 and 12, probably that range. Before I go, but then again, obviously the way the show is designed, it's whether you risk it for the biscuit or not from there.
Yeah, get buckets.
Get buckets. I guess we'll start with some background. So basically, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was on from 1999 until 2019. Most people do not know that, and yeah. it was developed by Michael Davies. It's based on the British game show of the same name that was produced basically in 1998. That also ran till like 2014 and then kind of went off the air. And now it's back on. It came back on in 2018. And it's actually hosted by Jeremy Clarkson right now. The guy who the Top Gear for like 20 years. Yeah. Yes, that guy.
I feel like if I saw his face, I would know. Because if you said if he did Top Gear, then he's one of the British dudes. And I played enough Forza that put me into watching Top Gear for a while that I feel like I would know.
Yes, you should know. He's a pretty. If you saw him, you definitely gonna know.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, I would see I could definitely see him doing the British version of this, whatever that is.
He also definitely looks like what I think an old British man looks like.
You're not wrong. It's about what you're like, what does he look like? And I was just gonna be like, just standard old British guy. But it was on. It ran on ABC for 3 seasons from 1999 till 2002, and basically these shows actually started from 30 minutes, but they were hour long game shows each episode, and then it went into syndication in the syndication version is how they call it for 17 seasons from 2009 until 2019, with the final episode being this year on May 31st. And these only episodes were actually condensed down to basically 19 to 25 minute shows, or essentially 30 minutes with commercials.
I don't know if I like that. Right? Because isn't like the suspense?
Yeah. So did they do it where they just like cut the number of competitors that they would show that day? Because like I remember like you'd go through multiple people when it was like an hour, right?
So actually, they got rid of that after once it left ABC, which kind of goes into the syndication part of. Essentially, to do this, they kind of cut all the costs, cut a lot of expenses, and they
So they didn't do the dun-dun, and then the lights would, like, circle around them,
they did all that, still. Okay. It just wasn't...
That's the production value I care about. That's the cost that matters.
Yes, but they did change, like, the number of contestants. They don't do the little fast finger round, or whatever they called it, I believe it's thing, anymore. They actually just turn into, like, normal, where you just go try out for it. And other stuff. But no, it's been on basically like the local affiliates of like CBS and ABC. Kind of like that where we always see the Cubs games or White Sox games that we've talked about in those random TV. Yeah.
Like the WGN?
Yes. That is what it's been playing on for the past 17 years. Depending on what market you were in.
Well, now I don't feel bad that I didn't know that this wasn't a thing.
Like... I mean, it was on daytime TV, and I'm sure you might have been able to see it for a while, but basically, depending on the market, depended on what actual channel it was affiliated with and on. They also basically, they started recording like multiple episodes a day, kind of to your point, where they kind of would go in, they're like, we're going to do 5 episodes to cover the entire week, and we're going to do it on this Sunday, and we're done. So, yeah.
I just did a quick look, and I don't think we have it on here, but like, do you think that this, because now that it's over, it's going to go the way of like Jeopardy, where they're going to put it on Netflix and people can go like binge?
I would love that.
I would 10 out of 10 go binge this.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is. When I was looking up all this syndication stuff and whatever, it basically was the most successful like syndicated show from like starting in the 2000s.
It's also just, like, a perfect, because I know, like, right now, like, when we eat dinner, we end up, like, putting on The Office, and we'll watch that or whatever. Like, this is a perfect dinner show, or, like, a perfect, like, I have 30 minutes, I don't want to sit in silence, but I can't devote. If I start, like, Matt usually is like, I can't start watching this, because then I'm not going to go to bed till 3 a.m. Like, this is, like, that perfect filler. It's a perfect filler show. And then I can get angry and say, I knew it. And then say I could do better than they did, and I could have gotten $1 million. Not really.
Yeah. we'll see, since it just canceled in it this year. So I have no idea what they're going to do. Right now, I think Game Show Network owns all the rights to all the reruns. So I don't know what they're going to do with it. Even though they only own parts and sections of the reruns, I think from like maybe 2005 until 2017, but I think then they, no, excuse me, till 2019, but then before that they didn't own that, or they owned sections.
So it kind of makes me think of Family Feud a little bit, like thinking about, like, because I think Family Feud is like on CBS, but it was on UPN for a really long time, and then I know that they still show the episodes, and I know that it's still going because it has Steve Harvey.
Yes, so actually Family Feud kind of just pluckered around, or just kind of went blah, blah, all the way around until actually Steve Harvey, and then it became
it went what?
Yeah, when it just went, it just kind of fluttered around. It didn't do much.
You're too bad. We clipped it. It's clipped.
Yep.
That's fine. But no, they have. But Family Feud probably a good example. But it's obviously a lot older show.
Yeah.
One like thing I did find interesting. I mean, depending on the host, but yeah, 70s, and like I said, it's still going on now with Steve Harvey. And obviously, but it wasn't relevant for like this entire time of this run until like 20, until Steve Harvey came. It was there, but it wasn't relevant.
So I also wonder if it's Steve Harvey that made it relevant or just meme culture that made it relevant.
I don't know, but all I know is that once Steve Harvey took over, it got air, and it's now like one of the most like watched syndicated shows.
Because he's very memeable. Or every yeah. time I see it, it's never serious. It is always just memeing Steve Harvey.
Yeah. I did find out that game shows do this, but and they do it quite often, but it's actually like a dying thing. So like Jeopardy may never come off the air. This show may never come off eventually. But you're not seeing like you're seeing very few actual new game shows pop up.
Well, you
actually
see them for like 10 episodes and then like they disappear.
Yeah.
Like I watched one that like Netflix did and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. And then it's been like a year and nothing's come on again. And I'm like, oh, well, that was a waste of time because it's not 200 episodes.
Yeah. So apparently outside of like maybe the big five, the 10 that everybody single knows, there's not a lot on there. They've been every now and then they add a few, a new show. I think like Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader happened to make it there. Even though
I like
and
that
was,
one.
And that was, that came out in 2007. I think like Street Smarts is one I saw that apparently is like one of the newest ones. I have no idea if that existed, but apparently it ran for 4 or 5 years. But yeah, a lot of the like basically the older ones like Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, Password, Family Feud, now Who Wants to Be a Millionaire will probably always be on. But as far as new stuff, who knows? So I guess moving into the host, obviously Regis Philbin was the first host from 1999 to 2002, did all the ABC seasons. And then once they went into syndication, they had Meredith Vieira, I believe is how you say that last name. Apparently,
Vieira?
Yeah.
Meredith Vieira?
Yes. Apparently, she ended up doing taking over from 2002 until 2013 for 11 seasons. And actually, it said that basically once she sadly leaves or kind of moves on to new projects is when the show kind of just ends up in this weird flux and how it ends up in this stale things. Because then you get to like Cedric the Entertainer comes from one season.
I thought you were lying. I didn't think that was an actual thing.
Nope.
I want to go look up those clips now.
Nope.
I feel like it'd be super entertaining to watch Cedric the Entertainer to like put people on the spot for $1 million.
You mean the entertainer is entertaining?
Yeah. And then after Cedric the Entertainer, Terry Crews actually does it for a year, for a season.
Would also what year was that? Love to watch that.
2014 to 2015.
I feel like I've seen one or two of those episodes, and I don't know why.
Probably because they make about 175 episodes a year.
Okay. That makes sense. Put it all on Netflix, you cowards. This is the endless entertainment that we need to go to sleep to.
Yeah.
And then Chris Harris, yes, the guy from The Bachelor that basically has made every Bachelor show ever known to existence. Or Harrison, my bad, not Harris. Basically did it for 4 seasons from 2015 to 2019.
Again, a man whose name I do not know, but when I see you, you look like you hosted The Bachelor.
Yeah, he's apparently been doing all of the Bachelor shows and been doing the Bachelor and then the Bachelorette since their existence
and
in like 2002.
Did he also do the Bachelor in Paradise? Because that's the
I believe
show
so.
I like.
I believe so,
that
but I could be wrong.
That one's good. Get all the contestants together. Whole bunch of fighting.
So basically this show is going to be me naming a bunch of names that you did not know their name to of people that you know exist.
Okay.
That's about it. Chris Harrison is number one. Meredith, actually, Meredith, if you saw her, you'd probably recognize
her. So
her
I know. That yeah. I know, but she did one of those morning talk shows.
Yeah. Yes. The funny thing is that actually they wanted Rosie O'Donnell to take over for Regis when they were leaving.
Oh.
Because they wanted more, like, inspiration, I guess. And then she turned it down. And then Meredith, apparently, they were trying to renegotiate her Today Show, talk show, or whatever she was doing. And she ended up taking this gig. It was weird.
I mean,
yeah. I don't. Yeah. So, a quick synopsis for people who may not have ever seen the show and apparently lived under a rock, because whether you like it or not, you've seen it and probably affected you some way. Basically, in 1999, as Kate said, there are 10 contestants who answered a chronological question in order, and whoever did it the fastest and got it all correct was put on the hot seat, or basically got to answer the 15 to get to be a millionaire, and that was called, like, the fastest fingering or something like that, I believe is what they called it, 1999 times. Once this hit syndication, they removed it. I'm assuming it because assuming this was done because it went from an hour show to 30-minute shows. In 1999 and 2010, the hot seat person answered 15 questions to get to $1 million. And then kind of the payment, they kind of just changed all the formats, obviously, over the years, which is crazy and I didn't realize. So one, obviously, what we know of, probably from 99 to 2010, is kind of like the standard for the most part. But then they go into weird things and the question gets different.
They try to spice it up.
Oh, yes. They spice it up a lot. So first of all, from 1999 to 2015, apparently if you missed a question in the first five, you walked away with $0. And those were the $0 winning people and everything else. Apparently after that, they started giving people $1,000 if they just made the hot seat. So, very dang. 2008, 2010, they added a time limit to each question. So you only had like 15 seconds to answer the first five questions, and then like 20 seconds, 30 seconds.
Yeah. Come on, man. You gotta speed that up. You need that suspense.
Yeah, but apparently they did. And then obviously the questions as from 1999 to 2010, and then 2015 and 2019, when Chris Harrison took over, they kind of tried to get back to the roots, as they want to call it or whatever, of the original show. They answered the questions, answered increasing monetary value and whatnot else. So you did a $100 question, $200 question, or depending on the year, started with a $500 question, $1,000 question. But from 2010 to 2015, they had the shuffle format, which is apparently they gave you random questions from random categories for random money values that you had no idea how much the questions were worth. And you just answered them.
That makes no sense. You need the buildup. You need to feel the pressure increasing.
It's definitely the spicy. The spicy. That's real dumb.
So, and these random in values went all the way up to $25,000. So your first question, depending on the system, you could have been answering a $25,000 question.
Did you know the price value before you answered, or just answered and then they told you the price?
No, if you got it correctly, then they told you how much that question was worth.
And then you're just happy with your $1,000 before taxes, I guess.
So,
how much is a million without taxes?
I think it's like, without taxes, it'd be $1 million.
No, it wouldn't be with taxes. Shut up. With taxes.
I think from what I
saw,
I think I saw the average person that won a million made it end up making, it was like 90, was it 93,000 or something like that? I can't remember.
Wait,
93,000? No, 930,000 or something like that. I don't know. Okay. Or they took 93,000 for taxes or something like that. Okay. I can't remember exactly.
Either one of those sums, I would be okay with.
I think they took 93,000 for taxes, if I remember correctly. So that'd be about 800 or be like 907,000. Because
taxes could pay off my loans.
Yes, which we will get to in a little bit about that. I did add a chart for those of you that do get our show notes, and kind of Kate and Adrian can look at, of like how the questions and the monetary value changed over the years. Like I said, from the standard format to what we ended up with. Like, I think at the final 9 years, they only did 14 questions instead of 15.
So. Wow. Gross.
Why not just do one more question?
I don't know. You can see here also.
I like that number. 13 or 15 work, but 14 is just weird.
Yeah, just do one more. Like, put on, like, you edit the show, right? Like, it's not like, it doesn't matter how long it takes. You can edit it to be however long you need it to be. That's just weird.
The thing that was cool thing, which I did like, what they have is you can, and the price range is like every five questions, essentially you got a guaranteed amount. And so, like, the main thing was, like, basically question 10 was always the big one, because if you got it correct, you got $32,000 guaranteed no matter what. If you missed it, you only got $1,000. But if you walked away, you got $16,000.
Yeah, that'd be the tough thing for me. Yeah. That's also why I think I'd get to about, like, you know, 7, 8, 9, because I think I'd bitch out. I think that I would walk away. I really do. this is enough. I'm okay with this.
So the only thing I have in my head, and watching shows like this, like Jeopardy or this, is where I learned it, or one of the ways I learned it. But my mom just says, it's found money. Just go for it. It's found money. She's like, you came in there with nothing. It's found money. Just go.
I get it, but there's a difference between $16,000 in found money and $1,000 in found money. Or when you get to
$15,000 worth of difference.
Or when you get to the higher end stuff of here, of like question 14 is worth $500,000. If you miss it, you make $32,000. That's a difference of $468,000. How much of that is found money?
I mean, it's all found money. It's money you didn't have before.
Correct. But
my mom also says that with income taxes, and that's probably why I don't have a very good savings structure in my head.
Yeah,
it's
found
money.
We're not gonna do that. as Adrian mentioned, lifelines. I'm not gonna go over all of them because they did. They ended up doing a ton of them over the years, and
text a friend.
No. Okay. But we'll start with the one Ask the Audience, which is the only lifeline that made it through all 20 years.
So, I don't know. Like, I remember some of the episodes, and the audience is real dumb sometimes. Like, real dumb.
Yeah, but apparently, according to U.S. studies, they got it right about 90%, 91% of the time.
I mean, I think people are dumb, but I think collectively, I guess it depends on the level of the question, right? If it's like a pre-10 question and it's just something that you just don't know, you can probably feel pretty good. But there has to be there has to be statistics out there, right? Of correct the asked audience is at certain points.
Oh, yeah. Like if they do better in the beginning or if they do better the end. That would be one that I would definitely use in the beginning. I would say 50-50 for the end, and then I would use phone a friend in the middle pieces.
Yeah. So one, obviously, it was fun because when they did the Ask the Audience thing or in the early years, they incorporated AIM, or AOL Online Instant Messenger. That was a big thing where you could actually message them during the show as long as you did the right screen name and you could help the Ask the Audience poll.
My dad tried to do that once. That tone should tell you how it went, but he tried.
Yeah. 50-50, as Kate mentioned, actually didn't exist. Actually went out of favor, or didn't go out of favor, it disappeared for a while. It was around from 1999 to 2008, and then from 2015 to 2019.
Is that a comeback? That's weird.
And it was actually removed during the clock format, and because for some reason we needed the timer. For Double Dip, which I'll kind of go over this one, Double Dip was only for 2 years, and basically you got two guesses. So it was like, I don't know this question, I'm a double dip, and so you tell them what two answers you want, and apparently one of them just has to be correct.
But isn't that pretty much just 50-50?
I guess
wouldn't your odds be better for 50-50, though?
Yes.
Right? Like, statistically,
yes,
your odds would
be
better.
Yes, statistically, they would. Okay. Yeah. Obviously, this was discontinued during the spicy years, as we're calling it, of the shuffle format. I'm sorry, that shuffle thing, when I read that, I was like, who would watch this? Like, who thought this was a good idea?
It makes no sense. Like Adrian said, it's all about the suspense. Like, I don't mind going to go use the restroom in, like, the under $500,000 questions, but by the time that $500,000 hits, I'm staying at my TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they did two rounds, one of just random values that you could make a certain amount of money, and then you came back the next day and you did the last four questions or five. That was
this Deal or No Deal? Jesus Christ.
So Phone a Friend, that keeps getting mentioned, actually only lasted from 1999 to 2010.
Really? That was a good one.
Google ruined it. Basically, Google killed this because basically search engine technology caught up and friends were able to research the questions by the time they read the questions. And so they had to remove it.
How fair is this, though? Like, in 1999, how many of those people were, like, Ask Jeeves the question? Like, there has to be, like, a bunch of people.
I'm sure they tried, but apparently Google got it enough where, obviously, Ask Jeeves is no longer around for a reason. But
they use Bing?
Bing never existed. But, yes, basically, it's been noted that Google essentially killed this.
Yahoo answered it.
Quora? Quora just said that shit up on Quora?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see, like, I'm sure, like, Google has these statistics somewhere, but, like, at prime time, how much is, like, the thing Googled for the question so people can get the answer before they get the answer? Like, that must be, like, a peak Google time.
I totally did that when I remember watching whatever, I remember watching the reruns on the Game Show Network because my aunt didn't have cable, so whenever she took care of my brother, like, I would just sit there either watching, like, it'd be Teletubbies till, like, frickin' 11, and then it was Game Show Network after that, because that's all you get. And I remember, but the first time I actually had, like, a BlackBerry, like, a smart thing, I was actually like, ooh, what can this do? I rarely found it fast, but now Google just answers your question before you even see the search results now.
You can just ask your phone the question. It'll tell you the exact result.
How do I become a millionaire?
Yeah. So another one they added later years, instead of, like, to kind of replace the phone a friend, was the plus one, apparently, which was from 2014, 2019, where a contestant may invite their friend on stage from the audience to assist with the current question. And then after the question result, the friend must return to the audience. So that was kind of like their semi-replacement thing. There's a few other ones. The switch and cut the answer. The three's wise men. Ask an expert. Jump the question and crystal ball. That all took place during some time. A lot of these had to do with that spicy format, as we said.
What is, like, a crystal ball?
Occasionally during the shuffle round, which was where you did the 10 questions of shuffle value, this lifeline allowed the contestant to see the value of the current question before answering or jumping it, which is jump the question if it had not been used.
So how did you get more than just three lifelines at that point? So you would have to use two in tandem?
I don't know.
None of this makes sense. What's the three wise men?
So this one took place in 2004 during the Super Millionaire, which I'll get to in a little bit. This lifeline allowed the contestant 30 seconds of advice from a panel of three experts who were sequestered backstage and saw the question only after their help was requested.
So, like, phone a friend, but without Google.
Sort of, but it's not really a friend, and it's kind of just a random person who said, like, hey, you know science, we're going to put you backstage, and if a science question comes up, we're going to make you go up front. But yeah, they kind of got a little weird with these. Obviously, we all know these standard ones of ask the audience 50-50. I believe, when the show ended, they had ask the audience 50-50 and plus one were the only lifelines available. All the rest of them were experimented during some time and were removed.
I mean, I can at least understand getting rid of the Google one.
Yeah, that one I think was also a fan favorite, as Adrian mentioned a bunch of times, but just, you can't do anything about it when I can.
Yeah, there's like no way. Like, I, on rare occasions where I don't have anything to listen to on the way to work, I'll listen to like morning shows. And you can, like, when they're doing like the trivia stuff, you can hear people Googling the things. So it's just too hard. Like, it's just not fair.
Yeah.
Unless you like call like a 90-year-old grandma who has no idea how the internet works a question. Ooh, maybe that should be like a stipulation. You have to call someone who's like in a booth with no internet.
Yeah. But I guess that's all I really have for like the history and getting into the synopsis of the actual show. And so I guess anybody have anything before we get into the but why those?
I don't, but we might have this great thing for people to listen to right here.
Hey everyone, do you like But Why Though? Well, the PodCoin app is a podcast player that pays you to listen to this podcast and every other podcast. Just get the PodCoin app on your iPhone or Android and start listening today. It's free and super easy to use, with every minute you listen getting you that sweet, sweet coins. It turns your podcast listening into charity. Or, if you're like me, you can get some Amazon or Starbucks gift cards. I use the PodCoin app to do all my podcast listening now, and I can personally say that I love it. Seriously. Just go to the PodCoin app and use invite code BUTWHYTHOUGH, that's BUTWHYTHO, and you'll get 300 PodCoin just for signing up if you use our code. That's 300 PodCoin just for signing up using code BUTWHYTHOUGH. So go ahead and give PodCoin a try today.
Welcome back to But Why Though?
Wants to be a But Why Though in air.
Yeah.
that so should be our That should be our episode 150. Episode 150 should just, we should just need to have Alex make a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire game for us.
Yeah, and let's see how far we get. Dude, I'm so down for that.
Real good.
Because he knows us so well that he would vary the questions fairly.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, can we actually do this, please?
I know, I think we should. Alex, I know you're listening.
Episode 115, so we do it sooner.
But getting into the but why those, we'll start off with the simple thing that basically is almost part of all Matt's led shows of it was a successful show. It was on the air for 20 seasons, ABC for 3 seasons, and it had a total of 364 episodes during ABC's run. The syndicated version was on for 17 seasons and accumulated 3,010 episodes from what I was able to find. So
again, put it on Netflix.
So many episodes, like insane. Like when we do the Jeopardy, when we go, sometimes we'll go watch Jeopardy episodes, and like there's a lot of Jeopardy episodes, but like that's just so many. Could they even fit that on a thing? Could that even exist? That's nuts.
The main one to me that I find fascinating is the ABC one. The fact that you got 364 episodes in 3 seasons.
Yeah. So the Price is Right is the longest running.
Yeah. Like I said, this is by far not the longest running.
Yeah. But it, like, that is over 3,000 episodes and it's not the longest running. Like, that's weird.
I'm also like, we've been doing TV shows. I'm like, they made it to 100.
Yeah. Woo! Jeopardy is third. Jeopardy is third longest. But I wonder if Jeopardy is third longest, but the longest with the same host.
That's possible. That would be
interesting to see. Because I think all the other ones have had changes.
I mean, that would be possible. I could buy that.
Come on, Google it.
Okay. Yeah. On your net zero internet. That was $0 before they charged you for everything. Even those questions. It actually won quite a bit of awards.
Yes. Hold on. Alex Trebek has broken the Guinness World Record for the longest running game show host.
Oh, I'm sure.
He has asked 416,569 questions and has been on TV for 6,829 episodes as of June 15th of 2014.
I will say that what I did know is Meredith made it, I think, about 1,700 of those episodes, I think, being the longest host.
He has over 6,000 5 years ago. And now he's just an old man who shades everybody when they get a question wrong. And it's great.
Yeah.
He's turned into Will Ferrell. Perfect. And I love it.
But as far as like success, the ABC version in the 3 years won 20 awards and was nominated for 11 other awards. It won TV Guide Best Game Show in 2000. It had 6 Daytime Emmys. As well, the syndicated version won 5 awards and was nominated for 29 other awards over those 17 seasons and won 4 Daytime Emmy Awards. I believe 3 of the hosts, both Chris Harrison, Regis Philbin, and Meredith, all won Best like Game Host.
I can see that. I really like Regis Philbin as a game host. He might be like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Matt a little bit. Really dry, kind of builds your hope up, and then, you got it wrong. And then, I don't know if anybody remembers it, but, like, I definitely remember him being like, oh, how'd you miss that one?
Obviously, it's top-ranked in any list you put. Like, the Game Show Network has it basically fifth best all-time. Ranker has it fifth all-time. TV Guide for 2013 listed at 6 all time. That's apparently the most
2013.
Apparently, that is most recent list, and then the one that apparently a lot of people use because TV Guide, I don't even know if it still exists. But basically, any top show, it's in the Game Show Network's Hall of Fame. They did an entire like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Hall of Fame special over this.
It's Game Show Hall of Fame. That's interesting.
Yeah, pretty much. didn't know a lot of stuff about game shows until this.
I wonder how many of those Nickelodeon shows are in the Game Show Hall of Fame.
I have no idea. But if we make it to the fun facts, we do have Nickelodeon fun facts.
I'm excited.
What was that, Kate?
I love Double Dare. Like a lot. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And the Double Dare 2000 was great. The Hidden Temple was great.
Yes.
I'm not going to say Adrian's word, but I loved it.
Hidden Temple's got to be in there.
It's so good. It's funny. Like, they use the same set for everything, but told, like, different periods of history. It's like, this is reminiscent of Columbus sailing to America. This is reminiscent of me taking a boat across a lake. They were the same courses for two completely different events.
Now put Regis Philbin as the voice of the temple.
So, probably one of the biggest but why those. Obviously, we talked about it's a successful show for about 20 years, but the height of the success is basically probably one of the main things and the biggest but why, though. Because obviously, we mentioned the other shows and Jeopardy and et cetera, but I could be wrong because obviously I've not been around since like the 50s or 60s and was still a child back when those other stuff were on TV. I don't think any of those other game shows hit the height that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire did. And so basically, since its debut in the fall of 1999, it was an instant success. It was basically the number one show on TV. At one time, it held the top three spots for the highest rated TV show. So essentially, it came on 5 days a week, and three of those days, it was the highest rated TV show. To where, if you said, what TV show is the highest rated, top five highest rated TV shows, it was like, well, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on Tuesday? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on Thursday, and apparently Who Wants to Be a Millionaire like on Sunday. That's how highly rated and like most watched this show was. I mentioned earlier it was originally a 30-minute show and they shifted it literally to an hour because of the demand and popularity. It's also how they got it to be 5 days a week, where it was a new episode for 5 days. It wasn't just like thing, it was we have a new episode each day for 5 days. At its peak, it was actually more popular than Monday Night Football.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's super big. Yeah. Yeah.
So like I said,
for people who don't watch the foosball, that's huge. Like, it's one of the biggest nights for football.
Our country chose to tune into something educational adjacent over football.
Yes.
I like how you added in the educational adjacent. Are we educational adjacent?
Yes, we are. I'm sorry. When I pitch us, I say, hey, all three of us have taught classes, so you're going to learn something.
I mean, you're not wrong. I like how I say it held the top three spot for the highest rated TV show. Nobody cares. But it beat Monday Night Football, and everybody's like, oh my gosh.
I'm more of like, hey, Bert, I want to go listen to Regis Philbin ask this man some questions. I don't want to watch the Cowboys.
First of all, do you know anybody named Bert in your real life?
But I bet they watch the show, though.
Yes.
I think it's just contextual, I think. Like, you say top three shows, like, what are the other two?
Like, Friends,
ER? It
also
ran for so long.
This is only in, like, Friends, this 3 years.
Yeah.
So,
never
mind.
Like, at one time.
Survivor? Was Survivor one of those?
No.
Oh, I thought it was one of the high-rated ones.
I mean, not during maybe this time frame.
Friends, for sure.
ER.
I miss ER. I wish that was on a stream.
Obviously, Monday Night Football at one time. Like,
at one time.
What else? What were the other ones?
I don't remember.
Those were ER?
Well, I remember that rounded out the top five. It was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, ER, and then I believe Friends. Or flip those. I believe it was ER, then Friends.
ER was real good.
I think the CBS Sunday Night Movie was on there, like in number 9 or something.
What?
Apparently, they did that. I remember. I completely forgot they used to do that. They did a Sunday Night Movie.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, it's like Lifetime type movies, but from CBS, so it like apparently has like legitimacy or something. But yeah,
it's just so. I don't know. It's just nuts. Like 1999, Monday Night Football had a 13.9 rating. 1999.
Yeah, this one had
and, that, and that's like on their decline. Like that's still stupid numbers on their decline. And Regis Philbin asking people questions beats that. That's insane.
Yeah, depending on the day, it still beat it. Like I don't think.
Yeah.
Like it also, as we kind of, as you all have said, it kind of sparked the game show arms race for the next like 4 or 5 years, where we got Greed. I forgot that show existed on Fox. The Weakest Link, Deal or No Deal, Let's Make a Deal. Those are just some of the examples. I'm sure we could come up with some of the other ones. But yes, apparently game shows took off. And yeah, I do remember everybody had a primetime game show at one time. It also raised the bar with the $1 million prize money, which was the first U.S. game show to ever do this, which is how Kate said, like, oh, I just want to pay off my student loans. And that was a funny joke when you read about all that stuff. Who goes, yeah, I went on a game show so I could remodel my kitchen. And then this show was like, you can be set for, like, life.
I mean, not anymore.
Well, not anymore. Yes, obviously not anymore. Now that prize money is, like, nothing. It's basically question two. We start at 500,000 if you want to show up. But no, like the prize money for back then was, it was a huge ordeal of like how much they were giving away and how much you could possibly win. And then, like I said, obviously we got into all these other shows. The crazy thing that like I completely forgot about is like obviously being bigger than Monday Night Football, but the contestants themselves basically became celebrities. And almost yeah, like
I think about the guy who like called his dad is the one that jumps out to me all the time.
I don't know any of them.
So yeah, the dude who called his dad like on the last question, he's like, "Oh, I don't need your help. I just wanted to tell you that I'm about to win $1 million," and then like answered the question and then won $1 million.
Okay. Well, obviously Kate was not paying attention, but that was going to be one of my fun facts. But I'll get into that one. Basically, John Carpenter, he became the first to actually win $1 million. And he was the guy that basically called his dad and said, I don't need your help, and I'm about to become a millionaire. It was a national news story. He appeared on Saturday Night Live. He appeared on the Late Show with David Letterman, Good Morning America, and he even did a cover for People Magazine.
Yeah.
So I can name, cool. like, the first 15 Survivor winners. I remember that guy.
Yeah. Rudy Reber, basically, he lost $218,000 because he did the phone a friend, and his friend gave him the wrong answer. And it was basically the Washington Post did an entire feature on this guy and about that whole entire instance because everybody felt bad for this guy because his friend gave
him
the
wrong question.
Oh, shit. I don't know.
So honestly, I'll try and find it. There are only three people that I would call with phone a friend. Sorry, Matt. The first is Bryce. Our friend who randomly knew the indigenous flag of a people in Finland.
That's pretty dope.
And then it would be Matt, and then it would be Bruce. Those are my three
Bruce
people.
Bruce would be good, yeah.
I mean, I would call Bryce first, too. So
no, Bryce is the first one. He's I hope Bryce is listening. I doubt he is. You are listening, Bryce.
Hey, man, I can Google things really fast.
nowadays
because you want to know the question where John Carpenter won $1 million, I can tell you because I googled it.
It's something to do with the Lincoln
which
I obviously
of these...
don't remember, so don't say the answer.
Let's see if Kate can get it.
Okay.
Bum, 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 bum. Gosh. Which of these U.S. presidents appeared on the television series Laugh-In? A. Lyndon Johnson. B. Richard Nixon. C. Jimmy Carter. Or D. Gerald Ford.
I'm just gonna say Jimmy Carter.
Is that your final answer? Dun. Richard Nixon. See, we would kill that episode. Just so.
We would. We would like pre-record all of the sounds that Adrian would make, and then we would just play them.
Yeah.
So remember how I told you there were people that made it and they won $0? Where Robbie Roseman, who is famous because he basically is the first person, he missed the very first question on the hot seat. He was first person to do that. And Brian Fedora, I'm assuming that's how you say it, also answered the question incorrectly on the very first one. They were invited to the Rosie O'Donnell show and they gave them brand new cars and covered them in the New York Post.
I want a car for being a loser.
Yeah, they did an entire thing of like, oh, look at this guy being the laughable loser. And they gave him like brand new cars and did all these stuff on him.
Dude, the ruby red ones on the $500,000 question. Oh, man. Which Hollywood figure directed Michael Jackson's 1998 video Bad?
I have no idea.
John Landis, not Martin Scorsese, is which he answered.
Who? Why? What were those director choices?
Steven Spielberg, Francis Ford Coppola? Coppola? Martin Scorsese, and then John Landis.
Man, this is like the only answer. Those other three people would not get out of bed to direct a...
Wait, hold on. Wait. Who? Oh! This correct answer is John Land or Martin Scorsese. I'm colorblind and couldn't tell the difference between which one of these greens was the correct green.
I also would have gotten that wrong, because I would not think that Scorsese would in any way touch a music video.
Rudy did not know, so he decided to call a fellow comedian, Will, who knew for a fact it was John Landis. He decided to go with him, but lost to the 218,000 correct answer. John Landis directed Thriller, not Bad.
There we go.
There's also a wiki that I'm sure Matt knows by this point.
There's about 35 different wikis on this thing. But no, like... The fact that, like, these people either lost money, apparently couldn't even answer a $100 question, they gave him a free car.
I want a car for being a loser. Maybe this is why this generation wants participation trophies. It's all who wants a millionaire. Who wants to be a millionaire's fault?
Yeah, but no, like, the New York Post was covering this stuff. Well, the Washington Post, you know, Good Morning America. This is literally for game show hosts. It took Ken Jennings, whatever, for Jeopardy to win, like, what, 50 different shows before anybody cared?
Jesus. Do you want to know the question he got wrong?
What?
Hannibal crossed the Alps using what animals? I won't even give you the answer choices. What animal was it?
Which one was this?
Wasn't it an elephant?
Elephants.
Yeah.
Hannibal. He said llamas. This dude, like, obviously, like, he got a car out of it, so he's fine.
Well, that's why he got a car, because everybody, like, laughed at him like Kate just did.
Because the answers were rhinoceros, elephants, llamas, chihuahuas. He 50-50'd to llamas and elephants, and he chose llamas.
Kate would just verify it or confirmed why he deserved a car, apparently.
That's insane.
Why?
How loud you laughed at that poor guy.
For everything. That's not a good measure.
Yes.
It removed the option he was initially going for.
Oh my god. This dude think they wrote in on chihuahuas?
Dude, I remember watching and like this dude, like this glasses, like this suit, this professional looking dude. He went out like on like the 300, like, well, I don't know which question it was, but one of the, like the really, really early ones. On a, because he didn't know his what are they called? Like folk tales? Like he didn't know the difference. It was a question on like Little Red Riding Hood, and he didn't know the difference between that one and like the Three Little Bears or something like that. Like he couldn't, he messed up on that. And I was like, what? My guy, it's like question one. What is going on here?
But no, just like kind of the how we're doing this and talking about, like, it was a huge ordeal. Like, obviously, like I said, we can talk about maybe some of the Jeopardy stuff and, you know, Steve Harvey's become a meme, but I don't think any of those people are doing, like I said, going on The Late Show with, obviously, David Letterman no longer exists or getting free cars because they sucked at a game show. You're not getting features in the Washington Post because your friend gave you the wrong answer on a game show. But no, it was a huge, like I said, the height of the success of the show is crazy. Like I said, it may not have necessarily the longevity of like Jeopardy of how long they've been and 6,000 episodes, but like when it was prime time, it was prime time. Which kind of leads into the next But why though, of longevity of a sense, maybe not necessarily the show wise, as I just mentioned, but like they actually did two spinoffs, ABC did. And they were both on ABC, and they're both on primetime. In 2004, Regis Philbin came back and basically did Who Wants to Be a Super Millionaire, where they tried to give away $10 million. It was only on for about a season. That was it. And then obviously this one I find intriguing. It kind of like stands of like how big the show was. During the 2009, they did a 10th anniversary celebration, which Regis came back and did an 8-show event of doing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on ABC at like 8 o'clock at night. You just don't see that from all these other game shows. I mean, they may have done it a long, long time ago, but you just don't see that in 2009. Jeopardy's all of a sudden prime time, or, you know, or even in their prime, I don't think you see them competing with Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Obviously, the catchphrases, which we've kind of done, they still stand the test of time of, is that your final answer? Phone a friend. Both of these are still used widely today, and they're even used by us. And obviously, they're still used by people, and we don't even call people anymore. And they've been used, and we didn't even know that they got rid of phone a friend in 2010. People still use
that. I really had no idea. Really had no idea, to be honest.
Yeah. I was wondering about it.
But it makes perfect sense.
Oh, it totally makes sense. And I knew.
We ruin everything.
But no, like, we say that all the time. We don't even think about it. Like, people, like, just random people meet, is that your final answer? Like, technically, that is from this show. Whether you think about it or not, it's where you got it from. Obviously, all the memes and the comedy sketches, like SNL done comedy sketch before on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We still see the meme today of, like, the answers. And apparently, there are people who make the wrong choice when they're actually on the show. And then there's other ones that are funny. I literally posted one today to you all just to show that everyone still uses this meme of the four answers to some messed up question.
Yeah.
And then obviously the show's music and lighting is very unique. It also set like that production value that you talked about, Kate. It kind of set the way for all the shows coming after it for the production value and what they did.
I honestly think that's why I tend to get You Are the Weakest Link and Millionaire confused half the time.
Yeah, so obviously a lot of these shows start coming. The funny thing was that lighting, the music, and everything, and how it was all crazy, and the production value, was actually done on purpose to try to make people nervous while they were there, to hope they missed a question.
Makes sense.
So all that, like, lights that you're like, oh, I might get nervous, and I'm like, why are those lights all on me, and, like, interrogation and everything, yeah, that was all done on purpose. So. But yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, obviously it's not a lot, but why those? I have a ton of fun facts, but I mean, the show was on forever. People didn't know it was still on, but it was on. People were still watching it. Like I said, obviously it still went on for quite a few years after, but they think from everything I saw and read, like, Meredith leaving really hurt the show, especially then they went into the crazy mode with their spicy format, as we called it. Chris Harrison brought it back, but then, you know, sometimes it runs its end. Obviously, people will still be watching reruns in general. And we'll still be phoning a friend in your final answer. I don't know what all y'all have before I get into some fun facts.
Well, I think... Well, the fun facts have some stuff I want to talk about. So okay. I think you can just jump into them.
Kate, you got anything? Okay. Well, the first fun fact I had was obviously the first guy to win. He used phone a friend on the final question and call his dad. Tell him, hey, Dad, I don't need your help, but I'm about to become a millionaire.
Which Dad, Kate, apparently... you raised me right. Yeah. I have a complete Rolodex of useless information in my head. Thank you, Father.
We talked about how we laughed about Cedric the Entertainer and Terry Crews and them being a host. For a good, like, 2-year period, they were just throwing random special guest hosts, and it was like a theme or something. So, like, some of these special guests, I didn't list all of them. These were just the ones that I figured people probably would know of, like Al Roker, Tom Bergeron, Dave Price, Lisa Gibson, Kat Dealey, John Henson, Samantha Harris, Sherry Shepherd, Steve Harvey, Tim Gunn.
I would totally watch Tim Gunn's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I love that guy.
Yeah, so he's
the one from Project Runway who, yes, like, makes fun of everybody's stuff before it goes out.
Yeah. Samantha Harris, I believe, from Dancing with the Stars.
I don't remember.
Oh, no, she apparently one of the hosts of Samantha with this Dancing with the Star for a long time.
I know Tom Bergeron is.
Yeah.
I know who Kat Dealey is.
Kat Dealey did, what the heck show did she do? She did So We Can Dance, I believe.
Yeah!
Yes, yeah.
Her.
Yeah, like I said, all these people, if you've ever watched any type of TV show, like reality or game show, you probably recognize these people. You just don't think about it because they're all like, not necessarily American Idol, but it's like So You Can Dance, Dancing with the Stars and stuff. John Henson, I believe everybody knew him and whatnot. Despite being super millionaire with a chance to win $10 million, nobody actually won more than $1 million.
Ooh, can I add a fun fact to this part?
Sure.
I was looking up John Carpenter, the guy who, you know, called his dad.
Yeah.
Apparently he went on to go play in, what did he play? He appeared in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Champions Edition, and he won $250,000 in that one. So technically he's won $101,250,000 from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And then in 2004, he participated in Super Millionaire as one of the three wise men in the episode where Robert Babbo Essing won $1 million. So he helped someone win $1 million on Super Millionaire.
Wow. Yeah. It's cool because obviously I didn't talk about it much, but they did do a bunch of they did a zeros edition. So the Robbie Roseman, who did the zero question the first time, they actually got invited back part of the zero winners
Netflix.
Edition.
Netflix, do the right thing. Hulu, somebody give me this.
Yes,
I need to watch this. Honestly, with Survivor, it reminds me of Survivor in a way where, you always had two, you have people who just played Survivor, all the time. They were always on a show, but they never won and they never learned anything ever. But I always wanted them to be on the show. Like, if they could announce, any of the old cast members coming back, yes, I want to see this person mess it up again.
Regis Philbin actually wrote an autobiography titled Who Wants to Be Me. So that's about how much the show meant to him and how much the show... He also got... I didn't look at the exact number, but he made a lot of money off of the show. Basically, his entire...
How many episodes?
Yeah. Considering Meredith did probably three times the amount of episodes, but still. In the Russian version, as Kate mentioned with the, and you guys talked about the audience going wrong, the audience actually gave wrong answers for Ask the Audience, and it actually became a thing to where people did not want to ask.
Purposely gave it wrong?
Yes, and it kind of became a thing where people actually were scared to ask the audience. They also kind of got booed when people won $1 million. And it's actually mentioned in this book, Irresistible Pull of Irrational Behavior, in which some guy goes into the sociology of Russia and how they don't like to help their fellow countrymen, how we should all suffer together, and you get this point of if I have to pull my beats up, you better get on your hands and knees and pull your damn beats up. There are no shortcuts, and it's kind of like the Russian philosophy of life and weird things versus
pulling up beats because they're in Russia.
Yeah, pretty much. but it's one of those, it was a weird thing. They did some guy looked at the way Russian society is and everything of how they just don't cheer in America, where they're oh, this guy made $1 million, or we gave this guy a car for answering stuff wrong. In Russia, they boo you.
I mean, I would have booed the guy who got a car for getting zero.
Yeah.
He lost. Losers don't win.
That's how Russia feels, and they feel you should not be getting money for being on a game show. You should get out there and work.
So what you're telling me is you are really Russian.
Yeah. In the UK version, someone got caught cheating using a system of coughs, along with his wife and a college professor in the audience. In which they actually had to...
So it's me, you, and Bryce, right?
Yeah. He also, he got indicted, and they all were arrested and everything else. Apparently, from what I was looking at, there's a few other people that have been caught cheating, but they couldn't really confirm it. This is the one time where this guy's going to jail.
So what you're telling me is Slumdog Millionaire.
Which is on this list. Slumdog Millionaire. Obviously, the movie nominated for the best film of the decade was actually inspired by this show.
So, that movie's so good.
I love that movie. It's so long, but it's so good.
Yes. Yeah. So without Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, we do not get Slumdog Millionaire.
Also, it's the best dance sequence for a non-musical film ever. It's the very end. Jai Ho. Real good.
That's okay. Not the scene I think about when I think about that movie, but you're not wrong.
The show was claimed to be easy. After six people won in the first year, the insurance company actually sued the producers of the show.
Oh, no.
The British had a fun time with it, basically with a bunch of headlines going, look, the Americans dumbed down our show so people could win. Snoop Dogg actually competed in the show and won $50,000. All went to his youth football charity. Apparently, they did a celebrities edition. I think nice. Kathy Griffin was another one of the people that was on there. And then the last fun fact, which I found during research, which is not really Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but apparently John Cena now hosts Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader on Nickelodeon present day.
I'm okay with this because he's great with kids. So I would love to see him just like shame adults publicly while praising kids.
Yes, when you put it that way. Yes. That's why MasterChef Junior is so great.
Yeah.
Because you see Gordon Ramsay being super nice to these kids. And then regular MasterChef comes on after it. And he's like, why are you serving me raw chicken?
Yeah, he would roast adults and... I need to see this.
I watched that John Cena game show. I think it was American Grit or something.
Yeah.
He was like real inspirational, but also real mean. Like, he came in hard for both those things.
Yeah. So that's perfect. I want to see it. Mainly because I liked Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. It was one of the other shows we watched because they would shame the adults so hard, and it was hilarious.
We have that board game. I bought it to play at my mom's Christmas like 3 years ago. But my mom got too drunk to actually play the game, and she said it was too hard. So then we just started playing Trivial Pursuit because it didn't have as many rules.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good fact, Matt.
Yeah, but apparently also if you just look up a lot of these game shows of like, there's a bunch of people you'd never expect to host game shows. And it's kind of...
Like who?
Crazy. Well, I mean, you just kind of went down the list, but I mean, I didn't think I'd ever see John Cena doing this.
Well, he's kind of like retired, not like retired, but I can see John Cena. I can't see Cedric the Entertainer doing it. Like, that's not a person I thought. I can see older John Cena knowing Nickelodeon's going to pay him buku bucks because they love him because they always have him go host their award show. But Cedric the Entertainer, why he do that for a year? Because he did a lot of episodes in that 1 year.
That was apparently, I don't know, obviously, not during that time, but when it first was getting canceled, they were wondering if because that they should make that move, or like the people, the producers before it got canceled by ABC, of like, Regis Philbin's kind of like too serious, and this is professional. Maybe we should make it more to a comedy, interacting, inspirational thing with these contestants. Obviously, that got canceled. I think from what I saw a few things, that was kind of some of the issues with like Cedric the Entertainer was it was kind of more comical instead of like, hey, these people are still playing for $1 million and trying to do those.
They're still trying to pay off their student loans. Cedric, yeah. Come on, man.
But no, that's about all I have for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So we're all millionaires now because we made it through the show.
Really not, though.
No.
See, like Elizabeth Banks apparently does... Press your luck. I have no idea what that is, but yep. She still does that today. I don't know what that
is. That's why I said you can pretty much, like, obviously, Kate's like examples, and I'm like, I'm not really sure because all the ones that were crazy,
Joey
I already
Fontaine
named.
Fontaine does one.
I knew that one.
You mean
Common
Fatone?
Knowledge? Fatone?
I actually Fatone. Did know that one. Common but knowledge. No, like, just name a random old celebrity, and they'll probably are doing some host of a
show.
Oh,
I know the lady from Glee does Hollywood Game Night, which that show's actually really fun.
Joe McHale does Card Sharks. Those are like, and those are just like starting like this year. Those are all
Jeff
new ones.
Jeff Probst is still going strong.
So,
$1 million password, Matt. You didn't talk about this one.
It's not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
No, but it was hosted by Regis Philbin, and it was a spinoff of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I thought I did that one. Did I miss that one then? What year was that?
2008 to 2009. So okay, So it's not a spin-off of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's a re-up of Password, but they added Million
Dollar. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like,
they added Regis Philbin. I don't know. Okay. I'm counting it as a shared universe.
It's a spinoff adjacent.
I was like, that's not a spinoff just because you add Regis Philbin to something.
And you put the word millionaire.
But there was Password.
Millionaire.
When you said that, I was like, I'm pretty sure that's a spinoff of the game Password.
Millionaire, Matt.
Also, like, to your point earlier, Matt, about new game shows that come up, because I'm like, I'm on like Wikipedia looking at game show hosts, and I'm just kind of going back through the years. In 2009 or 2019, there are like 5 new shows. 2018, there are 19. 2017, there were 52.
Whoa.
Like, game shows are dying for sure.
But I know they did that, because I know they had a funny thing when I looked at the syndication thing, they actually had a period, I believe it was from, like, right after Millionaire was canceled, or for the first time, I think it was, like, 2004 to, like, 2006, they had, like, no game shows that went into syndication, and they're like, oh, they're not doing anything. Now, like I said, a lot of these game shows are still, you're still going to get an opportunity, you're still going to do it, they just don't ever make it to the point of, like, syndication, which basically means we're going to, like, because I believe it's, like, Jeopardy, they did, the like, it costs, like, because of production value and cheap, it was, like, Jeopardy costs, like, $5 million to make, but they make $50 million, and so they don't mind just keeping the show going on until everybody dies, but...
Wait, Michael Myers does a game show?
So, game show adjacent, there are actually a crap ton of celebrities who have been on either a dating show or The Price is Right.
That's not surprising to
like
either.
Like before one of those. They were celebrities.
Well, that is kind of a weird thing of like, because I have noticed that and I've seen that because obviously because I think Ninja's going back on Family Feud, but he had already been on it, and it's kind of been one of those like, I'm pretty sure obviously the tryouts is not your average Joe is winning your actual money. It's amazing on how many famous people were on a game show already before. Like, wow.
Yeah, it's almost like they were good looking or something.
But anyways, to end on a more positive note, because obviously we can go down thing. I guess is there anything else to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I know you all laughed at me when I said this topic. Obviously, it's because this was the month that it was 20 years from this month when it first debuted. I believe it was August 19th or something like that, of 1999 or something like that. And then. Everybody looked at me crazy when I told them, well, the last episode aired May of this year, and it's now done. But, yeah.
Well, sorry, I don't have WGN to watch Terry Crews, okay?
I would watch Terry Crews host it, though.
I'd watch Terry Crews do anything.
Yeah.
But no, I really don't have anything. I think I learned a whole bunch of stuff today, like a lot of stuff. And... I would love to do a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or like some type of trivia game show for like one of our big episodes. That'd be super fun.
I really want
to. And Slumdog Millionaires.
Is 125 a milestone?
It is not a milestone.
Is 114 a milestone?
No.
Well, according to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, 14's an important number.
Oh my gosh. Kate, do you have anything?
No,
okay.
I just really liked recording this, and this was a lot more information than I thought.
Yeah, so I don't know, like I said, in terms of maybe Jeopardy, it may not be, you know, the longevity, and we don't have Alex Trebek or whatever, but we do have...
I had that question. Sorry, you can't read my mind. So you know how Jeopardy does, like, it takes, like, grad students or, like, college students and, like, puts them against each other and stuff? Do they ever do any, like, special episodes like that?
No idea. But to final thought, to wrap all this up, yeah, I don't think, except I don't, you all kind of laughed at me. I don't think people realize that the show was still on. It is what it is. It'll never probably be, like I said, the Alex Trebek, but there is Regis Philbin. He's basically known for this show. And I think just that 1999 to 2002 and game shows of, like, one, how highly rated this was, how many people watched it, how much, like, it affected everything in TV and media. Like, Monday Night Football couldn't stand a chance. It just, it mattered. It was something that's there. Like I said, we will still remember the show, whether it's on or not, and what all it ended up sparking. The next however many years in game shows.
Good. good times.
Yep.
Good times. I also don't think we, I don't remember laughing, like LOLing, but I was also like, is the show even on still?
I didn't lol, but I totally was like, what?
And we need to like start a petition to get this stuff like on some streaming service so we can like binge it. Or yes, at least like the best episode, like their highest rated episodes, put them all in the thing.
Oh yeah. Just give me this, give me like half the Vieira years and all this Regis years.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. I think that'd be doable, I think.
You don't want all the guest hosts and all the Terry Crews?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't mind them, but you listed a lot of episodes. That was a big episode number.
Yeah.
3,010. They're only, I mean, like I said, the amazing thing is ABC did 364, and those were an hour long.
Yeah. Yeah. Just do the Regis ones. Just do the Regis ones. I lied. Yeah, just do the Regis
ones. I was well, like, I guess we'll talk about the other ones later. It's one of those things, too, is like, I guess, like, technically, we should know Meredith Vieira as Who Wants to Be a Millionaire because she did way more. But it's also like, no, I just know Regis. Sorry.
Yeah. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring this back again here. Well, obviously, this is the 20th anniversary, but I wouldn't be, I mean, they've talked about possibly reviving this show a few other times outside of just the event, just because apparently people just loved it so much when it was on.
So. Yeah.
The game show got a 10-year anniversary special on primetime TV and ABC.
It's actually a lot. That's,
I know. But yeah, I guess just get us out of here.
Yeah, so as always, if you want to support us a little bit more, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/butwhythoughpc. And if you want to interact with us on Twitter, hit us up at butwhythoughpc. And you can find me on Twitter at omymithreindeer. Adrian?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at superreese93, S-U-P-E-R-R-U-I-Z, 93.
Matt?
Is that your final answer?
Oh my god.